Hi, my name is Dr. Nancy Shahada, and today I'll be speaking about HIV risk behaviors that persist among migrant workers in South Florida. The study I'll be speaking about was conducted by myself, as well as my mentor, Dr. Virginia McCoy, and my colleague, Mooney Rubens. I'd like to begin with my presenter disclosure slides. I have no relationships to disclose regarding personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation. I'd like to begin by giving you all a little background information about migrant workers. There are over 9 million migrant workers in the U.S. They are about 70% of them are Hispanic, and they're concentrated in 6 states: Texas, Florida, Washington, California, Oregon, and North Carolina. There are a number of challenges that migrant workers face due to their migration. These challenges include limited education, lack of access to health care, poverty-related low wages, culture barriers and language barriers, chronic underemployment, constant mobility, substandard housing, and hazardous working conditions. Some of the consequences to these challenges include isolation, depression, and loneliness. There are a number of behaviors that increase one's risk to the HIV infection. Some of these behaviors include exposure to multiple sex partners, sexual episodes without a condom, and alcohol and drug abuse. The national seroprevalence rate of the HIV infection is about 0.4%. Among migrant workers, it's been reported in a number of studies to be between 2.6 to possibly as high as 13%. Now, since this community is a mobile community, it makes it very difficult to collect accurate data regarding prevalence rates. So the study I'm speaking about today is a secondary data analysis. The data was drawn from a larger HIV risk reduction intervention project that was headed by Dr. Virginia McCoy between the years of 2005 and 2010. The parent study's aim was to explore the effectiveness of two types of interventions. One was an enhanced, adapted, cognitive behavioral intervention program known as PEER, Peer Education Ends Risky Behavior, with a health promotion comparison program known as HEALTHY, Health Education Always Leads to a Healthy You. Now, after recruitment, informed consent, screenings, and administration of baseline assessments. Participants were randomly assigned to either intervention group. Then they sat through a 4-hour workshop on that specific intervention, and they had a post-intervention assessment. After that, there was 3 follow-up assessments. One was at 3 months, one was at 6 months, and one was at 12 months. So for the study that I'm speaking about today, our sample were the participants that participated at baseline and 6 months. So the inclusion criteria for the parent study was that participants had to live within a 10-mile radius of Immokalee, Florida. They had to be a migrant or seasonal worker, age 18 years or older. They had to self-report at least 1 episode of unprotected vaginal, anal, or oral sex in the last 90 days. They had to speak English and or Spanish, sign an informed consent form in either English or Spanish. They needed to be in the area for the following 6 months and return 6 months later for a follow-up assessment. So our research question is, we were interested in the risk factors that are associated with HIV status post-intervention. So in our model, we had our dependent variable, or outcome variable, which was HIV status post-intervention, and our independent variables in our model were sexual risk, which was measured by an index, VEE, or vaginal episode equivalent. I'll be speaking about it in more detail in the next slide. Previous sexual transmitted disease diagnoses, marijuana use, as well as crack use, which crack use is missing on this list, but it was included in the model, alcohol use, marital status, country of origin, and length of stay. Now, regarding the risky sexual behaviors, as I mentioned before, the vaginal episode equivalent was the index that we used to measure sexual risk. Now, this index was created by Susser, DeVaro, and Witowski, and this index is actually a weight sum of the participants' unprotected sexual acts in the last 30 days being oral, vaginal, or anal. Now, The advantage of using this index is that it provides a score that reflects the participants' sexual risk-taking behavior. Now, the formula that was used is each sex act was weighed based on its differential risk. What in this formula, VEE equals 1 times the number of unprotected vaginal sex acts, 2 times the number of unprotected anal sex acts, and 0.1 times the number of unprotected oral sex acts. Now, regarding alcohol and drug use, so the three variables we used in this category was alcohol consumption, looking at the number of drinks in the last 30 days, crack use, looking at the frequency of use in the last 30 days, and marijuana as well, looking at the frequency of use in the last 30 days. All right, so the baseline data set we had was 431 participants. And at the 6-month follow-up, we lost about 160 participants, leaving us with 270 participants. So the sample was 270. We computed change variables, looking at alcohol and drug use behaviors from baseline to 6 months, as well as sexual risk, looking at if the participant's sexual risk increased or decreased during that time period. Missing data was very minimal. It was about 0 to 2%, and a mean replacement method was used for missing data. All right, now this table just illustrates those participants that were followed or participated at 6 months and baseline, and those participants that didn't. So these are all baseline measure variables. I'm just going to touch on the ones that you see in bold. Those were found to be statistically significant. And what we found were that those that were lost to follow-up were significantly younger, about 40 years, 39.86 years of age. They were significantly less educated than those that were followed, with a 7th grade educational level. There was a larger portion of them that were Hispanic. They had also a higher portion that reported a previous sexually transmitted disease diagnosis. And they also were found to have a significantly higher frequency of crack use. All right, so now I'm just going to provide some descriptive data, some descriptive information regarding our sample, looking at sexual risk. About 6% of our participants in our sample reported being diagnosed with HIV. About 28% reported being diagnosed with a sexually transmitted disease. 77.4% of our subjects reported having oral, vaginal, or anal sex in the last 30 days. On average, the participants in our sample reported having 2 sexual partners in the last 30 days and using protection with 1.39 of them. Now, regarding drug and alcohol use. So, on average, the participants in our sample consumed alcohol about 19 times in the last 30 days, consuming an average of 120 standard drinks. Marijuana was used on average about 6.6 times. Crack was used about 4.01 times, and cocaine was used about 2.88 times. All right, so regarding our study, we conducted a logistic regression. Log 10 transformation for variables with high kurtosis levels were done. 2-block regression was executed. Block 1 included demographic variables like marital status, length of stay, and country of origin. Block 2 included alcohol use, marijuana use, crack use, VEE, and previous sexually transmitted diseases. All right, so this table shows us the results from our logistic regression. And again, I'm only going to be touching on those that were found to be predictive of participants who had HIV positive status at 6 months. And what was found here is those migrant workers in our sample that had a positive HIV status were less likely to be married, had increased their marijuana use, had increased their sexual risk in the last 6 months, and they were less likely to report a previous sexually transmitted disease. So what does this tell us? Well, that migrant workers who participated in a risk reduction intervention were more likely at 6 months post-intervention to test HIV positive if they continued to engage in risky sexual behaviors and continued to use marijuana. This study illustrates the importance of identifying the risk behaviors that were resistant to change and persisted. Some of the limitations to our study. First, the brief time period. Only minor changes can occur in a 6 month time period. The data we had was self-reported, and it seems like the migrant worker sample we had were risky regarding their sexual risk behaviors, as well as their alcohol and drug use, and that may have enhanced the likelihood of inaccurate reporting. Recall bias, even though we only included the variables within that reported on the last 30 days, there's always a likelihood of recall bias. And loss to follow-up. We did lose about 160 participants, and it seems that those participants were somewhat riskier regarding their crack use, and that may have impacted, you know, as a limitation to our study. So for future research. More research examining HIV risk among migrant workers are needed. Interventions recognizing the role of drug abuse in HIV transmission should be prioritized. Future interventions should be evidence-based and structural. Integration of HIV care with substance abuse, education and treatment are needed. And future research should explore the context of substance use behaviors as well. Okay, from my understanding, we're going to be leaving the questions till the end, so thank you.